So I had been in angst all this week. This feeling of dread, this feeling of even anger, agitation, and I wasn't exactly sure what was causing it because on the outside everything was really going well. But I finally figured out on Friday night as I was just taking a long walk and even doing some running to get this angst out of me that I had been in a spiritual battle. Precisely because I believe God did not, or the enemy did not want me to preach this message. Once I set my mind on preaching on this racial reconciliation issue, I've been listening to a lot of African-American preachers, even a young African-American artist in Lecrae doing his interview with several African-American ladies on the podcast, and so I've been educating myself and listening to and a lot of podcasts and just delving into this issue. And so I felt a darkness in it as I delved into it, and I believe that's where the spiritual battle was coming in. So I even thought about maybe I won't do a message on this one. This is too heavy, especially in light of the fact that the children are going to be in the service. How do I do this? And this is a heavy topic. Maybe it's better to avoid it, but the Lord stayed his hand, and he would not give me the release. And so I knew that I had to preach this message. And so I felt like the prophet Jeremiah, who had the message in himself, and he knew that it had to be preached, but he didn't really want to preach it because of the effect that it might have on the people. But I believe the Lord triumphed, and then I decided to go with God rather than go with my flesh. And so here's what I will present to you. Now, I've been praying ever since that decision was made that this message will be preached, how it should be presented. And thank God that God gave me wisdom, finally, I believe. And the children are going to be here. So I'm going to address this message actually to the children. So adults, you get to benefit from this as well, because a lot of movies nowadays, the cartoon movies, right, such as a Lego Batman movie, I mean, we think it's made for the children, but really it's also made for the adults. We get a lot out of it, inside jokes and so on. And so hopefully this message will be something like that for the adults. But really, this is geared toward the children that we do have. Wonderful, wonderful children, right? That they're not our future, but they're our present, right? They're the church of today. So, let me give you the outline, and it will sound very adultish, but after that, I'll flush it out and you will understand it, okay? So, racial integration in the church is, number one, imperative rather than optional. Number two, racial integration in the church is based on trusting God rather than what is expedient. And number three, racial integration in the church is inclusive rather than exclusive. So I know I lost all the children already, right? Those are big words you promised me. So now I'm going to flush it out and help you understand what these things mean. Because frankly, adults are thinking the same thing. Expedient? What does that mean? All right, dictionary. Okay, so that's where we are going. All right, so number one. And all these points actually come out of the text. I don't have enough confidence in my ability or wisdom or learning to conjure up these points and then synthesize it and give it to you. No, these came directly from the scripture verse that we just read. Okay, so number one, racial integration is imperative rather than optional. Simplest way to put this is that separate but equal has no place in the church. Separate but equal has no place in the church. Now, most of us who took U.S. history, and some of us have lived through it, but for the children and those of you who did not grow up in this country, let me explain briefly what that is, separate but equal. About 130 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court decided that it's a good idea to let the light-skinned people and the dark-skinned people use two different separate public facilities. For example, the light-skinned people can only use certain restrooms, and the dark-colored skin people have to use other set of restrooms. Light-colored people can be at one water fountain, but the dark-skinned people, they have to be at another water fountain. You can see the pictures right there, right? The light-skinned people went to a certain school, and the dark-skinned people went to a certain other school. In other words, they were segregated or they were separated depending on their skin color. And it was the law. The Supreme Court, the highest court in our nation, has allowed this. And because they allowed it, it became that. Now, thankfully, this law is no longer true, because finally it dawned on some of them, right, that this is wrong. This is just not right. Why should light-skinned people and dark-skinned people use two different facilities? What's the difference between them such that they have to use two different public facilities? And so it finally dawned on some people that this is very, very wrong. So we can learn something here, guys. These Supreme Court justices, these people who made this decision, were obviously very, very smart people. They went to very good colleges. But just because you're very smart does not mean that you don't do dumb things. It proves that, right? Because they did something really, really dumb. This, I mean, you can look at that and go, that's so dumb. Because you have to make two facilities for everything, right? And everybody. Like, what do you do? Like, if you really have to go and then you have dark skin and then there's only, like, light skin bathroom, right? You're not going to go to it. I mean, that's so dumb. But for whatever reason, these really, really smart people, Supreme Court justices, thought that this was a good idea. But thankfully, again, years later, people have realized that this is a dumb idea. Let's get rid of this. So about 60 years ago, this law was gotten rid of, and thankfully we don't have this law anymore. And that is why the school that you go to have all kinds of different people in it, and not just light-skinned, dark-skinned bus that you ride or any facilities that you go to, right? They are for all people, and we love that about the country that we are living in. And so this is good and right in the sight of God, that we are integrated. That's what it means to be integrated, not separated, but you are together. Okay, this is a good thing. This is the will of God, and God is pleased with this. But did you know that something similar happened to a place and to a group of people about 2,000 years ago? And we just read about it in the Bible. This was happening, actually. Same thing was happening in a church out of all places. Now, this church in a city called Antioch. Okay, this was in now the modern-day Turkey somewhere. And this church was a flourishing church. And this church had two different types of people. One was the Jewish people. They were from the nation Israel. Okay, so they were some Jewish Christians in this church, and they were probably the darker skinned. And then there were what was called non-Jewish or Gentile people, and they were mostly people from Greece. They were Greek, and they were probably light-skinned. And so there were some dark-skinned people from Israel and some light-skinned people from Greece, right? All in one church, doing life together, loving God, and all of that. And so that was a very good thing. However, one day, the leader of the Jewish people, Peter, decided that, you know what? I think it's actually a good idea for us to maybe separate ourselves from our Greek brothers. Our Jewish people, we have some distinctions, and there are some differences, and so maybe we ought not be so be tied together or be so close to one another, and maybe we should do our own thing, and they should do their own thing. And so he started separating one group, the Jewish group, from the other group. Now, Peter, this is a disciple of Jesus, number one disciple of Jesus, right? And so he was a big man in the church. And so once he decided to do this, all the other Jewish people followed, and then they started separating themselves from their Greek brothers and sisters. And so church almost became two different or two separate or two segregated entity at that point. But thank goodness there was a man named Paul. Okay, Paul was a friend of Peter, but Paul was not like Peter in that he went to Peter and said, Peter, you're a liar. You say that you believe that God is for all people. Then why are you only hanging out with your own kind? Why are you only playing with those who are just like you and not the other? You're separating, you're splitting the church. And if you keep on doing this, listen to this, if you keep on doing this, God's going to punish you in hell. It's in the Bible. Okay. You're condemned already if you do this. And that's what it means. So, Paul, thankfully, corrects Peter's mistake because Paul realized that what's more important than what's convenient and what we like is God's reputation. Because he realized that God created all peoples so that they will live in diversity, unity in diversity and harmony and peace with each other. And that will be so much more glorifying to God than having people separated, that he cared about God's reputation so much more than our own comfort. And so, God's people should not be separate, should not be segregated. And it's an imperative, as in it's a requirement, something mandated from the scripture. It's not, I don't believe, an optional thing, unless you really couldn't help it, obviously. Because if your neighborhood is all just like you, for example, if you're from South Korea and a small town in South Korea and there's no other minority and they're all South Koreans, and of course the church is going to be all South Koreans, right? You can't help it in a case like that. But if not, then I think it's not an optional thing, but it's an imperative, that it's a must thing that we integrate, because it is so close to the line of the truth of the gospel that we cannot take it and go, oh yeah, if it works better this way, we can do it that way, but if not, then not. This is not something that we can play with. So children, when you grow up and you are looking for your own church, say when you go to college or even after college and you're not with your parents anymore and you don't have to go to the church that your parents go to, so you're looking for your own church, look for a church that has all kinds of people in it and not just one type of people. The church there you're looking for should have young people in it as well as old people, not just the young people. Okay? The church that you're looking for should have light-colored skin people as well as dark-colored skin people. Okay? They should have some rich folks as well as poor folks, because God is for everyone. And if the church is really about the mission of God, about the kingdom of God, then they will want to reach out to everyone and not just one segment of the population. Okay? So racial integration in church is imperative and not optional. Paul could not have put it any more emphatically on this point. Number two, second point. Racial integration is based on trusting God rather than expediency. Expediency simply means what works now. Okay? So, racial integration, it must be based on trusting God and not simply what works now. Okay? That's what it means. So, here's a question. Why did Peter decide that it was a good idea that church people should be separated depending on how they look and where they're from? And let me ask you, children, do you think that's a good idea? That the people who look different and they come from a different area, they should be separate from the people that are not like that? And they should have two different groups or two different churches, and you go your way, we should go our own way. How many of you think that's a good idea? That people should be separated according to how they look or where they're from? Nobody, right? Yeah, we don't think that's a good idea. But apparently, Peter, the man of God, thought that that was a good idea. Now, I love Peter. Peter was a follower of Christ, and I believe he loved Jesus, and I believe that he loved the church as well. But then why would he only hang out with his kind and not the other? What is the reason? What is the reason for that? Well, Paul gives us the reason, actually. In verse 12, he says this. Peter used to eat with the Gentiles, that's non-Jewish people, the Greek people, but certain men came from a group sent by James. So these are Jewish people that came. And when they arrived, Peter began to draw back, and he separated himself from the Gentiles, that's non-Jewish people. That's because he was afraid of the circumcision group sent by James. Peter was afraid. In other words, what that means is that Peter cared about what other people thought more than what God thought. That's why Peter decided to draw back. You know what? I think I'm going to stay with my own people, my own kind. Reason being that, you see, these people who came from another church and to observe Peter, maybe, or even the church, they were Jewish people, just like Peter. They were Jewish people, but they were the people in power. Maybe they were the people with money. We don't know. But they had this kind of influence, right? And so they came in, and when Peter saw that these people, his own people, came in to look at him and see how the church was going, he thought that, you know what? I want to please these people because these are important people, and they're going to think better of me if I only hung out with Jewish people and not the Greek people. So I'm going to shun my light skin color people, and I'm going to only stay with dark skin people just like me. Because I don't want my people, I don't want these important people to think that I am doing something less. I want them to accept me, and so I'm going to stick with my own kind. So because he was afraid of what these people might think, Peter has committed this sin of segregation and separation. Here's my lesson that I draw from it. You cannot use a wrong method to do right. You cannot use a wrong method. In other words, you cannot use expediency, what might work at the moment, to achieve God's purpose, our ultimate purpose, which is glorification of God's name and the integration of all people. You just can't do that. You cannot use the wrong means to achieve the right goal. Right end is what I am saying. What is expedient? You know, churches do this all the time. What works now? What will reach out to the people now? And then they're shooting themselves in the foot because years down the road, they realize, uh-oh, this has, we've created a monster. This is doing more harm than the other, than not. Let me give you a perfect example. I'm sorry, this is not in the thing, but for years and years, I've been a youth pastor for 17 years, okay, believing that the better I make the youth ministry, right, that I'll be their pastor, everything is subservient. They are leaders. They do everything. The students themselves lead the whole church, basically. But the church is made up just of them. Juniors, junior high and senior high people just running the church themselves, right? But what I realize is that when they graduate out of it and then they go to college, guess what kind of church they look for? They look for a church exactly like the one that they came out of. A young pastor and people who are only just like them because that's all they've known. And so not finding it, you know what happens? They drop out of the church altogether, right? So what I realize is that, wow, the better I make the youth ministry and more independent, the worse it is, actually, in the end, because they will not stay in church, not being able to find the church. In other words, I have taught them to be selfish. That's what it was. I have taught them that it's all about them and not about others. And I believe Peter is about to make that mistake. Right? Hey, Jewish people, we feel more comfortable with us, right? And you Greek people, you feel more comfortable with you guys, right? So why not you guys go with your own kind, make your own church, and we'll stay with our own kind and we'll make our church, right? Makes sense to me. That's expedient. That's what seems like it will work. Maybe that'll be better for the church growth, right? Because what is the first thing we do when we come to a church, new church? You look around and go, are there people like me? Can I make friends, right? But Paul looks at that and goes, no, Peter, that is not in line with the truth of the gospel. That is not indeed what God intends. That is wrong. Even though, Peter, I believe your heart, I believe you're doing this to keep the church together, really, right? But what you're really doing is separating and breaking the church at the seam. It will not work, Peter. Not what is expedient. But trusting God, trusting God's method rather than our own mind. So Ephesians 2:15 teaches us, listen, being a Christian is not simply being saved. God did not just come so that we will be saved and we will become one with God. But God also saved us so that we'll become saved and become one with God, but become one with one another. They will become a new people. That's another purpose of us being saved. Ephesians 2:15, through his body on the cross, Christ set aside the law with all its commands and rules. He planned to create, listen, he planned to create one new people out of Jews and Gentiles. He wanted to make peace between them. Before Jews and Gentiles, light skin, dark skin, Christ came, And what did he want to do? He wanted to make one new people out of them. So how wrong would it be for them to say, I'm a Jew, I'm going to stay with my people. I'm a Gentile, so I'm going to stay with our people. We're going to have two separate churches. Paul would have said, no way. No, that's not in line with the truth of the gospel. So we have to trust God and do things his way rather than what is comfortable and easy for us. And the reward for that is God is pleased and we are also happy in him. Just look around you, right? Just look at the different type of people sitting around you, right? Children, let me ask you, what if your iPhone, your iPad only displayed gray color? So in other words, you're playing Candy Crush, and all the candies are gray. Not red, yellow, black, purple, white, what have you, right? It's all gray. Would you like that? It's too confusing. I can't play this. This is boring, right? So look around you. There are people of all different backgrounds and colors sitting here. This is so much more beautiful than if everyone looked like you or me. And it displays the grandeur and the beauty of God better when people from different backgrounds come together as one, glorifying his name. Okay? So, racial integration is imperative and not optional. And two, based on trusting God and not expediency. And then thirdly, lastly, racial integration is inclusive rather than exclusive. Includes rather than excluding. Okay? So far I've been preaching to the choir. We already knew this. Our church is already like this. So what are you saying, right? We're already there. So maybe other people should be here listening to this, but not us. So that's good. But this last one, I think, applies to us. And we need to keep on applying it to us. It's for us to be inclusive and not to be exclusive. That means we try our hardest not to leave anyone out or make somebody feel like they do not belong because of how they look or because of where they are from. Okay, that's what it means to be inclusive. You include them in your group rather than saying, you're not like us, okay, so you don't belong to us. So in other words, what this means practically is, for example, right, bunch of girls coming together, right, and then they have a great bond together, and then let's say a group of people from Japan came, right? And then you go, well, you know, they're from Japan. They don't speak our language, and they're kind of weird, right? We can't play with them. That's being exclusive. You're excluding them from your fellowship, right? Your friendship. And that is what the gospel is saying that you should not do. You should include them in your group. Now, I do believe in having people who are especially close to you. Okay, I'm not saying that you should be friends with everybody in equal degree. That's not what I'm promoting at all. There will be some people that are closer to you, and they're closer and dear to your heart. Jesus had 12 disciples, right? And so he had his own group of people that he was really close to. But the wrong thing would be to think that, you know, since it feels so good to be with my friends and these are my people and we can all laugh at the same jokes because we think alike, right? We like the same kind of food and we like the same kind of movie. And I like it so much so that if there's a new person, I don't want that new person to join us, because if that new person joined us, it's going to break the group dynamics. It's not going to be the same. I like it just the way it is with us four, that I don't want anybody to join us. That's being exclusive, right? Or rather, what if you flipped it around and thought this, you know what, I love our group, right? Four or five people that I have, right? We click, right? We can finish each other's sentences and so on, and we love it. But there is this girl who's always kind of by herself. How awesome would it be if that girl can just join us and have what we have? She will add to what we have now. Right? Rather than ruining what we have, she will add to, so maybe it will be even greater. Now you're thinking about including that person into your group. That is what I mean by being inclusive and not exclusive. So, adults, let me address them a little bit. We have cliques at our church. usually that's seen as a bad thing, but it's not. It's actually a good thing. I've been praying that there will be cliques at our church, that people will vacation together, right? People will go to the movies together. People will do things outside of church together. And that's a good thing. I've been praying for it, and it's happening, right? Jesus had a clique, 12 disciples, and even within the 12, he had three people that he was especially close to, Peter, James, and John. So you can even say that's a clique. That's a good thing. But let me ask you, how did Jesus use the clique? They were a seed money, weren't they? He used these people who were especially close, converted them, and then he used them to reach out so that the group did not become exclusive. It's not just us and nobody can come join us, but no, I want everybody to join. We want to engulf the whole earth with this type of people. So now you are using these people as seed money to go out and win people over to Christ so that this group will grow and grow and grow. And that's exactly what the kingdom of God is, like a tree that grows and encompasses everything and everybody. That's what it means to be inclusive and not be exclusive. And so it's not wrong to have your several people that are really close to, right? Just don't say it's just for us, right? We don't want anybody to. No. Your purpose should be, it's so good here that we want other people to join us so that it will grow, because it's not about you, right? It's about Christ, his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. It's kind of like a stained glass window at Sistine Chapel. I've only seen it in pictures, but I'm sure you've seen it I have a picture of it somewhere. It's made up of thousands, if not millions, of little dots, right? Little colored glasses. But these artists somehow put them together and it makes up this beautiful mosaic, a portrait of something majestic, like Christ. And that's what we are to be, as individuals, as different as we are, coming from different areas, different backgrounds, right? Different talents, but coming together, doing our part so that in the end we draw this beautiful portrait of Christ, who is more grander, who is more beautiful than if it were just us trying to portray as individuals or even as one ethnicity to glorify this Christ. And I believe that is why God gave us nations, God gave us ethnicities, God gave us different skinned people, so that all these different people can come together, because it wasn't enough that only one ethnicity or one person represents God accurately, because that would be impossible. But all the image bearers in different shapes and forms will come together and form this majestic image that is the church, the bride of Christ. So that is our goal, trusting God rather than expediency, right? And making this into an imperative and praying that God will continue to do this work and expand out and being very careful, right? Because it's fragile, right? It's extraordinary what's happening here. It really is, guys. And did you know that there are people outside of our church that are watching us? Denominational workers and so on that are watching to see if this thing, unity in diversity, really headed by a Korean pastor and a black pastor and a white praise leader. I mean, is this thing really going to work? How long will it work? How long can they hold this up? I mean, they're watching, and to be honest, I don't know. It's fragile. But it all depends on you, your mindset. Am I going to be open? Am I going to be inclusive? Right? Am I going to insist on my own comfort and my own culture or background, what have you, or am I going to sacrifice all that at the altar of Christ and then let it be about the body? It depends on you. It depends on me. Okay, let's pray.